The Diesel Podcast.
Digital integration in English as a second or other language.
Episode 37, EdTech and Elementary ESL with Angela Barnett.
Welcome to Diesel. This is episode 37 and we are your hosts. I am Brent Warner.
And I'm Michelle Reyes.
Hey, Michelle, how are you?
I'm back in the States.
Congratulations.
And we are, what, a quarter through 2021?
Already? Who knew, right?
Yep, by the time, yeah, almost a quarter through.
Have you gotten a shot yet?
Not yet. I'm on the list. Have you?
No, because I had COVID, and so I'm, like, worried about it. Like, if you get a, there's all this the information's getting there, but it's a little unclear about like what you're supposed to do if you're a person who had COVID. Mm-hmm. So
you're not a priority anymore.
I'm not going anywhere. I'm here. I'm locked in my cave, so I'm good.
So hopefully by the next episode, I don't know. But my state is opening up. We opened up 100%, and this is Texas, by the way. We opened up 100%. I think last Wednesday. So
opening up, meaning you can take your mask down and breathe on people.
The mask mandate is gone.
Congratulations. That's very...
businesses are at 100%. So I don't know what's going to happen. I'll just sit back and observe.
So more Postmates for you, Shell. All right. So today we're talking about a topic that we haven't really talked about, which I'm excited about. So
me too. I started out as a kindergarten teacher, thinking I was going to be a dual immersion elementary school teacher. And of course, the universe wanted me elsewhere, but that's an area that's always, you know, close to my heart as well, because I love children and I love elementary education. So today we are lucky to have Angela Barnett, and we'll give her a proper introduction here.
Yes, Angela is a third grade teacher and been in education for almost 20 years with an MED in cross-cultural teaching. Angela provides district PD and for Q as well as a lead learner. Leadership roles include ELA and ELD program designee, tech site lead, avid site coordinator, teacher induction mentor, OCQ board member, and #ThirdChat co-moderator. So Angela, you are not busy at all. How are you doing today?
Good, thank you.
Yeah. You're like, I forgot I had to do all those things. I gotta go, guys.
You know, I don't talk about it a lot. So sometimes I'm one of those people who do get a little embarrassed, but when those things are said for whatever reason, but yes.
But yeah, that's a fair amount of things, and you know, it keeps you fairly busy. So so we want to talk to you today about supporting elementary ELLs. It's a different world than what Michelle and I normally do, and I don't know, Michelle, if you feel the same way. Like a lot of the times I'm like, okay, we can deal with oh, puppy.
A puppy. You guys are not seeing this, but there's the cutest little puppy on the screen.
You're going to have to send a picture of that dog to put into the show notes so that everybody can know what's going on
here. I will. Sorry.
What's the dog's name?
Oh, his name is Pup. He's a
Pup. Yes.
How did I know?
Well, he was a rescue, and I wasn't going to keep him, so I did not come up with a name. So Pup stuck.
All right.
So was he a pandemic pup?
No, he's actually about 9 years old.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, hard to tell, but yeah, he's about 9 years old. And he's doing good.
Well, welcome Pup to the show. We're happy to have you on.
Other special guest.
Yeah.
Well, first time we've had one on the show.
Does Pup have an Instagram account?
No.
Okay, so back to topic. So we are going to talk about elementary ELLs. And like we were saying, I often feel like the stuff that we talk about, Michelle, like can stretch all the way down to high school ELD and even junior high ELD a lot of the time. But then I kind of feel faded or a little bit worried about like, the stuff I'm talking about cool for elementary, like I don't know as much, or I don't feel as confident in saying that. So I'm really happy to have Angela on to talk a little bit about what it looks like, what technology looks like for language learners at younger levels and that whole world. So let's jump into it.
I know, I agree.
Yeah.
Okay, so one of the things, Brian, and I know I mentioned I started out as a kindergarten teacher, and a lot of the strategies that I learned in my credential program, I never thought that they would stretch over into the adult world. I know you said that you sometimes feel disconnected from those levels, but I'm now curious after working with adults for so long. I'm curious as to what working with ELs or ELLs looks like at your school, Angela. Is it sheltered instruction? Is it separated? What does that look like now?
Yeah, so at my particular site, over the years, we've had about a 50% population of English language learners. And what that would look like is 50% throughout classrooms as well. So in my class, I can go up to 30 students. And so there would be about 15 students who were identified as English language learners. And what I do as a general ed teacher is I would teach the English language learners through, we call it with our standards, integrated and designated time.
Okay.
And so for integrated, that means the ELD standards are covered across content areas and throughout the day. So I teach all subjects, English language arts, social studies, science, math, etc. And then for designated ELD, California State requires 30 minutes a day protected time for our English language learners. So because at the time leading up to this year, the numbers were so high and due to time constraints, I would teach as a whole group. So our curriculum supports our ELD and ELA. So when we're reading a story in our ELA curriculum, the story is reflected in our ELD books. And so it's just modified. And we focus more on the speaking, the writing, the language piece of it. Whereas in English language arts, the students are seeing the story twice, but then that's where we're focusing on those comprehension skills and strategies. So it's more application piece in ELD communication wise. And now that we're online also, so we transitioned to the LPAC. And so English language learners take this assessment every single year. And now our numbers have dropped since the test has changed, which is, it's very interesting. I don't really know what the data is on that, but now this year, I only have 7 students in my class. I have 26 kids and 7 are identified as English language learners. And so now, and we've been virtual since March. So at the end of the day, we have this like asynchronous hour. So I spend 30 minutes in a breakout room with those particular 7 students, which is kind of nice because when we were in person, we really didn't get that like one-on-one time right. with a small group because it also wasn't a small group. So it does look different virtually, and it does look different this year than it did in the past.
So you have however many students, let's say 30, and this right now is different, but if in the past you had 15 of them or half of them are English language learners. So basically you're kind of saying that you taught the same lessons, but you had to scaffold it in a different way, right? So that the students here are working on, hey, we're talking about volcanoes and those types of things, and you're having to separate out like vocabulary words that maybe language learners don't have, but you had a term for the students who are not the language learners, right?
So we use the acronym EO as English only.
Okay. So EOs are mm-hmm. are people, the students who don't need those vocabulary time, right? And the ELs are the ones who do need the vocabulary time. And so you kind of have to build the lesson and a half every time that you're building out a lesson plan, right?
Absolutely. And so, and not only is it the vocabulary, but it's also a lot of grammar because mm-hmm. of the speaking and writing. And so a lot of times, I'm speaking from the elementary perspective, but a lot of times the way a student might think or speak is how they write. And so we want to make sure that when they're speaking in complete sentences. So that way, when they go to their writing, it will reflect that type of thinking now, which is funny though, because now that we're online, students have the impression that they can write to me like they're texting me. So that's something that's a hurdle that I'm trying to overcome as we're teaching virtually. But normally when we're in person, it's a lot, you know, let's make sure we restate questions. So make sure we restate the question when we're answering. We don't just answer with because, and then that way it reflects in their writing as well.
If it makes you feel any better, I still get emails like that too.
Same thing with our adult learners. That skill transferring over, the brain is not quite, you know, it's like, oh, well, let's use shorthand.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm also thinking, like, to me, I would be like, third graders are texting? Or is that like, do third graders have phones these days? Is that... I don't know. I don't have any third graders around me. So
yes, I have quite a few students who have like a separate device, whether it's a tablet of some sort or a phone. So whether it's like texting with their parents, so I hear that a lot. Like they text with their parents, and I don't know, but I'm sure there's other I guess when they're gaming, like there's a chat box.
Oh yeah.
So in sense they're texting while they're gaming. So we're using the chat box. So it's that sense of texting, but they're very familiar with texting when at least the term.
Yeah. It's part of the world. I just hadn't thought of it in that way. You know, like sometimes my brain is just kind of like, you know, it's just not thinking about that. So that's super interesting. Okay, so we talked a little bit about your changes, but now we're dealing with this whole world online for you now, right? And all of the crazy conversations going around on about like teachers teaching online and elementary and how to deal with kids. And, you know, for me, a lot of times, you know, my adult students are fairly autonomous and they need guidance in certain things, but not in the same way that kids do. So I'm interested to know what adjustments you've made for teaching online.
Okay, so when it comes to the integration of ELD, there's really no changes because I'm constantly, and I feel like because, and I think one of the things I have to add, I mentioned this earlier on the side with Brent, was a lot of educators and parents don't realize that at the elementary level, when they're enrolling students for the first time at a school or in a district, they're given a home language survey. And this survey will ask, you know, is there another language spoken at home? And if it's yes, many times, almost 100% of the time, students will be identified as an English language learner, regardless if they themselves speak a second language. Mm. And that's why a lot of times our population at my site was much higher, because we do have families who do speak different languages, but it doesn't necessarily mean that their child is fluent or speaks that language. So that's something that's been very challenging, because a lot of times those students who are identified as an English language learner are now, I would consider, stuck in that program. And sometimes it leads into middle school and high school. And the reason is because they might be performing below grade level, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's due to a conflict of language, like not being able to understand the language, or that they have like a learning deficit of some sort. So they're not even receiving extra services. So I think, you know, that's another conversation, I'm sure, at another time. But I think that's something that I hope people start become more aware of, because it does affect our students as they become older.
Yeah, big time. That's like a failure of state policy, right? I mean, essentially.
Yeah, because we see a lot of students who, it's unfortunate, but we see it in middle school and high school, that they're given like extra classes, extra English classes or language classes. And that's not exactly what they need. Sometimes they just need different supports, but they don't qualify. And so then a lot of times students end up failing or becoming like having this negative like relationship with education, because they're constantly being piled on. So kind of like my English language learners that have this extra 30 minutes, right? Or a different program. Sometimes they're placed in intervention classes, and it's sad, because it's, you know, we're pushing it onto them, which sometimes it becomes a negative effect. It doesn't always end up, you know, positively affecting them at the end.
You know, Angela, I'm hearing you talk about this, and I'm a language learner. First language is Spanish. And the same thing happened to me, because we filled out a form that said we spoke Spanish in the home. I was now put on a track that was the English learner track, and it followed me all the way to middle school. And I was a pretty good student. I liked academics. I had a good relationship with school. But I remember one of my instructors asking me, why aren't you in AP English? And I remember answering, well, I didn't think I was good enough, because I was always put into those remedial classes where my issue was not the language part. It was I just needed to catch up with stuff I had missed out from being in a pullout program. So I can relate to that. I can relate to that.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, you know, because there becomes like this stigma, I guess, you know, and I feel like we need to do better, right? Like we keep hearing that a lot. Like we just need to do better. And like, I have a student this year, this doesn't happen often, but I will get a student who we would say is a level one, like just only speaks Spanish. And leading into this year, virtual, oh my gosh, this works when I'm in person because I've got all my stuff, right? Like I can act things out. I can grab stuff to show the student, mm-hmm. you know, but virtually it makes it so much harder. And I don't speak Spanish. And so, but I really try to encourage that speaking, even if you don't know, like describe it to me, you know, what is something, you know, that is in relation to, because that's another thing is like, I've got English language learners in my class who supposedly speak Spanish. So even if she threw out a Spanish word, I can't guarantee that these English language learners can help translate because they don't speak Spanish. So, but she's done amazing. Like, and I think that's key is when you do get a student who only speaks a certain language and you're trying to get them to speak English is definitely encourage. Don't discourage, because even though, and I know how any of us who have traveled, you know, and don't speak the native language, it's hard and you feel embarrassed or you don't want to reach out. But if you continuously encourage, now this little girl wants to stay after class with me every single day. She wants to show me her art. She wants to talk to me and show me like everything and anything. And for me, it's just, I just need her to keep talking. Right. If I can get her to keep talking, her language is building and then she becomes more confident. So and I think that's what the idea of ELD is, that designated time, is just getting those students talking and sharing.
Yeah, that's exciting to hear that when students are responding that way. So along those lines, what do young students respond best to in language learning?
So when I first started at the school site, the funds for the class that I was placed in third grade were all English language learners. So it was weird. This doesn't ever happen, but every single student was an English language learner. And I went to my very first educational conference, CABE, and it was in Long Beach. And one of the PDs that they offered, or like workshops, breakouts, was GLAD, which is Guided Language Acquisition Design. And this was like one of the best trainings or PDs I had ever done. And I'll say even to now, because this works for every and all students, all learners. And it's explicitly teaching while like integrated ELD, like without really even knowing. So like how Brent, like you were talking about like those, like that vocabulary. And then with language learners, and Michelle, you were saying like kindergarten, you know, like when you would see like the labels around the room, like trash can, door, mm-hmm. like, yeah. And that's what you do with your lessons. So like one of the strategies is called a pictorial input chart. So it's basically like labeling and color coding. And one of the things that I did with my students for like social studies is the process of like producers and consumers, like kind of farm to table. And so we created this chart together and the process of raisins, like growing raisins, where do they go? They get picked up on a truck, they move, you know, to the grocery store, you buy it at the grocery store type of thing. And it's all labeling and pictures. And it's funny because now there's like sketch and tell. And it's like, oh my gosh, I've been doing this for years with my students by utilizing GLAD strategies. And it's all of that like visual, like language and vocabulary. A lot of it is visual. Mm-hmm. And then science, like currently, like with life cycles, drawing out those life cycles, labeling them. And then one of my favorites, which is funny too, is sentence patterning chart. So what it is, it's like, so I come from an AVID school site for elementary. And so we do note taking, and they'll call them like column notes or Cornell notes. Mm-hmm. But years ago, when I was doing the sentence patterning a chart, they're column notes, and you would first teach like noun and verb, and you color code them. Nouns are red, verbs are purple. And then you'd add from there, like an adjective is green, and you add the column, and you keep building onto it till you're building those sentences. And not only is it color coded, but you can also add images as well. So if they weren't sure what that noun was, you draw a little picture. And then that would build upon the sentences for students. So then what we would do is take sometimes, you know, we're reading a text. So even though we're reading an informational text for comprehension, you could still review grammar. So you could take the same text and then start color coding it. Let's find the nouns. Let's find the verbs, type of thing. So now you're doing that integrated ELD, like in social studies, science. And so I would just have to say, like, definitely, like my kiddos, like we use Post-its and colored pencils. So they really, like, even though we're doing like note taking, because at an AVID school, that's basically all those things are, they don't really realize it. It becomes more fun to them, right? Because now they're using those things, which for me in elementary, we never did that. Like, I didn't start using like colored highlighters to like college, like, you know? And so now it's like bringing that into the elementary level. So it's, and they really like it. They love taking out their Post-its and using their colors. And then they're making those connections as well.
So this is awesome. This is giving me a good sense of like what your classes maybe look like and what the settings look like. So I think let's take a break. And then when we come back, what we'll do is talk a little bit about specific tools, especially for online, how you're engaging students with some of the technology and all of those things. All right, iTunes review. Ishelle, we got our first one of 2021.
Yay, three months in, we got one. Yeah, and they actually wrote a lot.
Yeah, you want to read that one?
Sure, I'll read it. Okay, so this is a review by Ripoff Alerter.
That's quite a name, but all right, let's go for it. It's a nice review.
Yeah, so they wrote, as a longtime ESOL educator and EdTech enthusiast, this is one podcast where I never miss an episode. Brent and Ishelle's podcast is still the only one that focuses specifically on ESOL and technology, which is so necessary. I appreciate their conversation style and learn something valuable in every episode. They interview educators and leaders in both fields, and I practically run to my computer after to look up the tools and tips they share. I especially appreciate that they begin with recent and relevant research, apply it to the conversation about technology, and offer practical tips as well. If you're teaching ESOL, you must listen.
Thank you so much. That's very nice.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's a super... that's very nice. So reach out to us if that's you. We will send you a diesel pin. We've got them, and we're happy to get the first one of 2021. You know, that's exciting. Thank you so much. All right. So, Angela, when you were talking about, you know, some of these GLAAD techniques and things, the first thing that I was thinking about was, for me, and you can tell me if you disagree, but I was like, oh, read and write, like text help, read and write, like click on a word, get the picture dictionary showing up on the word immediately over it, highlight the words, it'll tell you which ones are the nouns and which ones are the verbs and those types of things. Like the technology is already doing it right inside of there. I don't know if you know what you feel about that, but I was thinking, so let's start talking about the tech. What what tech are you liking? What's helping your students? What are they at the third grade level? What are they comfortable with? Let's just dig in.
Okay, so I am in love with read and write. I love text help. However, my district does not provide that for my students. So we don't get the bells and whistles on that. But yes, if anybody is interested and there's any admin out there or IT people for districts, it is a must have because it's all inclusive. Not all only is it all inclusive, it supports state testing. I know nobody likes to hear that. Mm-hmm. However, we have our students who are English language learners. We have English language learners who have an IEP, whether it's for RSP or for speech, and text help matches the accommodations that are found on the CASP. So we really need to think about how we, like, if we're going to mandate testing, we have to think about the way to support those students. So I'm just going to put that in there. I know that's not something everybody likes to talk about, but we've got to really support those kiddos at a young age, because everybody's talking about testing is stress. Well, yeah, testing is stress, but what can we use to minimize that stress? We have the power to help. Mm-hmm. Sorry, gotta say that.
it's good to put it out there.
But yeah, as far as tech though, like, I'm going to Flipgrid. I know a lot of people utilize Flipgrid, although I do know there's a lot of people who don't utilize Flipgrid. And for integrated ELD, you can use it across content areas. So I do use Flipgrid. If nobody knows what it is, it's, well, now that it's been adopted by Microsoft, there's so many, like, you can do video, you can just do audio. So there's so many different ways to record, but I use it in math, especially for students to, like in third grade, students have to be able to explain the process, so steps of an equation. And so it's a great way for them to show and tell me if they understand how to solve a problem. Social studies this year, virtual. So I use Flipgrid in person, but now with us being virtual, like, my tech has increased immensely. And so this year my students did a landmarks report for social studies, and they had a choice whether they wanted to do a slides presentation, which I taught them how to do, or some students who wanted to actually create the model, because some students and families like to do that, and then share it in a virtual presentation through Flipgrid. So they were able to do that. So then we have, for Flipgrid, it's great for those speaking and listening standards. So speaking and listening standards for all students, but also for our ELD students as well, English language learners. Quill. So Quill is a grammar application, and it is standards based for grade level. And, you know, I used Quill in person, but again, when we are teaching virtually, my time is very limited. And so I have to think of essentialism and what needs to be whole group with the teacher, what doesn't need to be whole group. And Quill teaches students how to write student sentence grammatically at our grade level. So there's also diagnostics, which are great. So there's diagnostics you can give for the whole group. And then there's also EL diagnostics, and they match the levels. So the diagnostic for English language learners, one is for entering and emerging, which I give all my ELs at the beginning of the year. And then mid-year, I do give the second one. It is much harder, but I do have, like, I have a student who is Filipino. She's an English language learner, but all the data I've collected so far, she's like scoring at a fifth and sixth grade level on like comprehension and reading. And so, you know, there's this student who hopefully will be redesignated, hopefully, you know, after third grade. But I do give that second diagnostic just to see where she's at. But Quill is fantastic too, because it also provides teacher led group lessons, which are very similar to Pear Deck. Like, if you do a synchronous Pear Deck, it's kind of like that with Quill. They just give you the lesson and you guide it as the teacher. So, and then all the other lessons can be done asynchronously, which is what I mostly do with my students.
So with Quill, I remember you and I did a presentation a little, I was like, that's a little while ago. It's like, now it's like 2 years ago,
but,
but you talked about Quill then as well. And I can't remember, because I didn't end up using it. I was interested in it, and I just, you know how you get overwhelmed with too many things to explore. Does Quill have a pricing structure, or what's the deal with getting it working?
Yeah, so there is a premium. However, I use free. Free is good, like, I'll say good enough. You get enough data from the free version, but premium also, like, if you share it out and like, if they give you a link and you decide to share the link and somebody signs up, then they give you like a free month. So it's there's an easy way of collecting premium, but honestly, the free version it's awesome. So I always say, at least try it free. You won't be disappointed. And they're doable. Like, the packs, like, I watch the kids, like, I have GoGuardian are through our district, so I'm able to watch them do their lessons. And as I'm watching them, it talks them, not orally talks them through it. But it, if they make a mistake, notes pop up to have them think about it or have them work through what they might be missing. But there's always examples. So I always tell my kids, because a lot of them are gamers, you know, what happens when you just press okay and you didn't read that box that popped up, right? And so that's what happens with these as well. If you don't read at first the directions or the pop-ups, you're going to miss something. So I always reference gaming with a lot of them because that's what they can relate to. But yeah, Quill I love because it is standards-based and grade-level-based.
Cool. You got more. So what else are you liking for your kids?
Okay. So I know I just kind of, so video. So again, we're not in person, so I don't have like all my like stuff, like go-tos, like my pictures, anything I would use to model for like vocabulary or understanding. So now I'm using video quite often and slides. I will insert a video into Google Slides because it won't take the students to YouTube. They can watch it within the slide and not be distracted, which is great for the little guys. And some of the ones that the channels that I go to are like National Geographic for kids and for science, and Number Rock for math, which is great. And then I also use Edpuzzle. So I will create video quizzes in Edpuzzle because students are practicing that listening piece. So listening isn't all just, you know, following directions. It's that listening comprehension piece, which Edpuzzle lends itself to. And that's, again, like as an elementary teacher, third grade, AVID, it's explicitly teaching how to take notes when watching a video. So we can't assume that students know how to use tech in like an academic, meaningful way. So, I'm not a supporter of teaching things separately either. So I feel like, you know, if I'm teaching Edpuzzle, it's within a lesson, double duty. I'm not going to teach it separate from something. I know some like to do that. I just don't. I don't feel like I have the time to do that. And the same with Flipgrid. So I'm always going to explicitly teach using these tools with students. You don't want to assume either that, you know, oh, well, they probably learned it the year before from their previous teacher. Mm-hmm. That's not always the case. And maybe they did, but that's okay. You want everybody to start with like a leveled playing field. You know, you want to make sure they understand what your expectations are using that tech. Why are we using this tech in Mrs. Barnett's class? This is why. So, and then again, I've mentioned AVID strategies. So that goes along with just what I've mentioned previously. Like I'm a huge supporter of blended learning. So I still have my kids using spirals at home. We're using our workbooks. And then what we do is we translate that digitally. So like if I'm teaching note-taking and color coding in our workbook, we have Kami or, you know, inserting, I know nobody likes the word worksheet, but you know, it is what it is. And, you know, you're teaching those skills. Like what does note taking look like? You know, what does that mean? Like basically we use annotating. So I have to use that language is we're annotating this. We're circling the keywords. We're underlining the important pieces. What numbers in math do I need to use? So, and then Jigsaw is a strategy in Give One, Get One. So if we're talking ELD and using that language, so Give One, Get One is everybody write down, you know, two landforms that we learned in social studies. And so I'd put them in groups and you would share your landforms and then the students would take a different color. So maybe like orange. And okay, well, I didn't write down mountain. So I'm going to write down mountain in an orange because that's one I got from my friend. And I'm going to give you hill because you don't have that on your paper. Mm. So it's what do you remember that recall? And then what can you share? So it's nobody's ever getting anything wrong per se, but that at least everybody's recognized for remembering some of the information.
I love how that structure also allows for, you know, there's no punitiveness in it. It's all about building and helping each other build up, right? Like it's a great approach to it. And, you know, you can use the tech to do all of that stuff so well. So I really appreciate that. So Angela, that's a lot of stuff that people can look at and explore. There's plenty to get into. So let's jump out and wrap up, and we're going to move over to our fun finds.
All right, it is time for our fun finds. And this time around, I've been obsessed with Clubhouse. I know a lot of people have heard about it. Mm. It's kind of the latest craze in my education circles. And so I got an invite. It is, I guess if I had to describe it, right now it's an app. It's limited only to iOS devices. So sorry, Android fans. It's a drop-in listening social media meets radio meets networking. And I don't know if that clarifies it.
Yeah, that's super obvious what that means.
But it is really cool. You can listen in on panels of, you know, experts talking about specific topics. You might be a guest on there. There's no cameras. It's just speaking. So it's sort of like the radio component, but you also can follow people in the audience or the speakers. And it's actually really, really cool. I've actually already listened to several talks and connected with people that even on Twitter, I hadn't heard of yet. So, and I know that, you know, Twitter is my go-to for everything. So Clubhouse, if you need an invite, reach out to one of us, we can invite you.
Yeah, I've got, I haven't used it quite as much as you have yet, but I've got like a 5 or so extra invites. So if people want it, just let me know or let Ishell know and we'll.
Yeah, and if you're on Clubhouse, follow us.
Oh, yeah. So mine is a little different from what I normally do, but it's a guy named Roman Boutin. He is on Instagram, and what he does, he's just an artist, but he does coin art. And what he does is he kind of strips the face off of a coin, and then he drills in with like a fine, you know, some sort of fine tool and redesigns everything on the coin. Or sometimes he does lighters or different things, but then he gets so intricate. This is this like Russian guy, and he's just off somewhere in Russia doing these insane coin art. And he does these little things so you can like push a little tab on the top of the coin and it makes little parts of the coin move. So it's like someone will like be holding like a Victorian mask over their face, and then you push the button and it opens and closes. He did That's this one cool. where you like you stick your finger inside of it and it's a trap, and it like it puts down spikes on your finger. Like all these really crazy, and I just love watching his work, because he'll sit there and like show you how he's doing it and the process, and it's like it's just insane fine detailed fine art. And it's just a really cool thing that's different from, you know, it's like all these people are doing, they're like, oh, here's my cool funky video, but this guy's just old-fashioned, nose to the grindstone, hardcore work. And I just really appreciate the work that he does. You can't get any of his coins because they're not allowed to sell them outside of Russia for whatever like legal import-export rules are. Mm-hmm. But he's like, if you want it, he basically puts something up online. He says, if you want it, you have to have someone come to Russia to get it. And people straight up do it, because he sells it for so much money. He's got like, you know, a couple hundred thousand followers and like people who really appreciate it, and they'll go, I don't know. So anyways, Roman Boutin, I think it's just at Roman Boutin on Instagram. Definitely worth checking out.
Cool.
Angela, what do you like?
Okay. So I chose a show on Netflix because, you know, it's those downtimes at night. I need my downtime, and I need something that just, you know, makes me laugh and brings me joy. And I have to say the show Nailed It on Netflix. Wow. Brings me joy.
I haven't heard of this
one. I love Nicole Byers on there so much. And she has this, what is it, Chocolatier? I don't even know if I'm saying it right. Jacques, I don't know his last name, as a co-host. And just, it's just great. It's pure like comedy with baking. It's
is this like a drama, or is it like a talk show?
So it's a baking competition. And what it's somebody said this on one of the episodes, it's the best of the worst. So it's like the worst bakers that come in with these challenges. Now the challengers are off the wall. Like, I have to give them that, because they're insane. But what the creations are, like, you just laugh. And not only do you laugh, like Nicole, like you'll see the judges like spit out food. Like, I love it. And like, she'll literally tell like another contestant, don't worry, you're not winning. Like, because it's so bad. So it's one of those like where it's like upfront, like comedy that's real. And It's like low stakes competition. I mean, the winner does win $10,000, which is pretty cool. But and I think as a teacher, watching like people not follow directions or follow a recipe, like I love it so much. So it's just, I watch at least one episode, maybe two, but I literally laugh out loud. Like,
awesome. All right.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah. Nailed it on Netflix.
Thank you so much for listening to the show. You could win a one-of-a-kind diesel pin by leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts. And if you're giving us a shout-out any other way, tag us on social media. Angela, you're getting one for being a guest on our show. So we'll send that out to you with some swag.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. We'll make sure you get that as soon as possible. We also have a Patreon. So we did set up the third tier. So we have a $1 tier, a $3 tier, and a $6 tier. If you, you know, if you want to support the show, awesome. There's different values at different shows, and we're not going to push it too much. But if you like, please feel free. If not, please feel free. But Ishel, we have Drinks with Diesel coming up.
We do. It's been a while. Since we had this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be on the 26th. We have not talked about this pre-show. 5 o'clock. Is that work? Pacific time?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the 26th, this is an open invite. And Angela, you're welcome to come to this too. Everybody
I'm
is
writing
open.
It down.
Yeah. So basically we open up a meeting. Anybody who wants to come in can come hang out. We have some drinks. We talk a little bit. We play some games. We give away some prizes. And we just kind of relax with our colleagues who are on other parts of the continent, the world, if they want to. We haven't had, mm-hmm. have we had international yet? We've had across the states for sure.
Yeah, but. We had across the states. I think it's our time frame, but hey, you never know.
Yeah. So please join us. You can go sign up at diesel.org/drinks and we'll get you the link so you can join us and everybody's invited. For show notes, we've got a little bit more. For show notes, diesel.org/37. And of course, you can listen to us on Voice Ed Canada at voiced.ca. And you can find us on Twitter. You can find the show at Diesel Pod. You can find me at Brent G. Warner.
You can find me, Ishel, at ixy_pixy. That's IXY_PIXY.
And you can find me, Angela, at Mrs. Barnett_TCHR for teacher.
Awesome. Angela, we forgot to talk about Q.
Oh,
hold on.
Yes.
Yeah. You were getting nervous.
Wait, there's more.
There's more. Here's bonus content.
I'm jam packed today.
So you're presenting at Q, right? I'm presenting at Q too. And actually, Ishel, did you know you're presenting at Q as well?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I do. It's in the back of my mind. So I'm presenting at Q.
Yay.
Yeah. We're doing with Brian Briggs the Podcasters Roundtable. So. That should be fun. It's different than Meet the Podcasters. This one's a little bit more of like kind of go around the circle and give some advice about podcasting and some things like that. So that should be a good one. And then I am doing a presentation or two as well. So that should be fun. One is called Keys to the Car, which is about encouraging student autonomy. And the other one is one that I've done a few times, which is the pedagogy of podcasting, helping teachers kind of set up their structure for how they might introduce and use podcasting in the classroom. Angela, yes. Do you want to share one or two of the 23 that you're doing this time?
Oh, Brent. So one that I'm super excited about is focused on SEL, social emotional learning, and executive functions. And for my session, it can be applied to any grade level. But if you're curious as to see what my classroom looks like or what we've been doing virtually since March, come to my session. I'll be sharing examples and true examples that I've been using from my students and with my students. And one thing I'll add is, you know, if you're curious, I don't teach to black screens or black boxes. Ooh. So if you're wondering how I got there, you might want to attend my session.
Very cool. Interesting. All right, so we'll be able to find you on Q and follow you on Twitter as well at Mrs. Barnett_teacher.
In Lithuanian, thank you is achu for tuning in to the Diesel Podcast.
Thanks, everybody.
See you next time.